The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Morning, Shasta County. This is Kevin Cry, and this is my show. My show means I have no paid sponsors, and I fund it all myself. So the thoughts and opinions are mine, and all mine, and those of my independent guests. How's that for a disclaimer, David? I've never really given a disclaimer. Yeah, it just felt right. He gave me the thumbs up because I've told David never talk on my show. So hi, say hi, David.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here.
I didn't say to say all that. I just said to say hi. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So, and by the way, if I've never plugged it before, I will tell you, David has been giving my son guitar lessons, and my son is he's quite the ripper or the shredder. He has an acoustic, has an electric guitar. They were both his papa's when he passed away. They were given to my son. And they'd sat there for, a couple years, and I heard David one time at the station talking about playing. And I'll tell you, my son can read music and do things with a guitar that, and the best part is, David, he's, like, playing some AC/DC and, like, some Metallica stuff. Like, he's got Enter Sandman in, and it's just like he didn't ever listen to any of that stuff, but now he's just become quite the little connoisseur of the electric guitar. So thank you so much. So there's my plug for David.
He's very bright.
Yeah, well, he takes after his mother, right? Okay, so it's been a pretty slow week. No, I'm just kidding. Many, many, many things are going on in the world of Shasta County and in my life politically and just personally. But in studio with me today is two individuals that are new to Shasta County to some degree, are appointed, but soon to be our ROV and clerk, Clint Curtis. Welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me, sir.
And his lovely wife, Jody. So welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
Good. And so just so everybody understands the process, I bring on individuals in different capacities from the county, and I really thought about waiting until May 13th because this appointment is still pending a background check. But I really felt led and necessary to go ahead and bring you on today because I have a show every other weekend, and I just didn't want to wait 2 weeks to introduce you to the community in this capacity. And I will tell you, I have listeners all over the country, and granted, very, very spotty, just the people that I've met in travels and different things like that. So I have a group in New Mexico, a few listeners, a group in Pennsylvania, Texas, Washington, but a lot of people listen to it, and I wanted people to be in this process with us together and just getting to know, who you are. And so we're going to jump into some questions. Before we do that, I want to let people know, again, if you don't follow me on social media, you can go to Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook, and you can also go to votekevincry.com. There's an area there to sign up for the newsletter, and someone called me out at coffee last week. I do coffee every Friday at 8 a.m. at Kaleidoscope, and if I'm not doing it, usually I'll post it or I'll let people know that there's no coffee that Friday. But someone said, hey, I signed up for it, and I've never done a newsletter. And I said, okay, so you know what? You called me out. I will start doing a newsletter, but it's really to let people know if there's coffees, if there's not. But I hate getting spam emails, so I've never sent an email in the entire time I've been an elected official. It's crazy, I know, and it's a missed opportunity. But we have hundreds of email addresses, but social media is just kind of how I've done things. So, okay, this isn't about me. This is about you two. So, Clint, tell us where you were born.
I was born in Salem, Illinois, which is in the southern part of Illinois.
So my family's from Galesburg and Peoria, my mom's side. So where is that in relation to that?
Peoria is across from Bloomington, so probably about 3.5 hours south.
Okay.
Center of the state, 45 minutes out of St. Louis.
Okay. My my grandmother, my mom's mom, used to do Christmas cards with Harry Carey, the old Chicago Cubs announcer. So very interesting. Okay, so where did you grow up and go to school? And Jody, just so you know, I'm going to ask you some questions too.
Okay.
But I really the community wants to know a lot of this information because a lot of the input I've received from people is like, well, who is this guy? Why did you appoint him? And what I'll tell my listeners too is tomorrow on Monday on my Facebook Live at 7 a.m. I will unpack my decision and my path to extend the appointment opportunity to Mr. Curtis. So 7 a.m. tomorrow on Facebook. So where did you grow up and go to school?
Grew up in Salem, Illinois.
Okay.
Little town.
Born there and grew up there.
Right. Little town, about 5,000 people. And that's when I was in it. Now it's a little town of about 5,000 people. So not a lot of growth there.
Okay.
But great place, small town, you know.
How many siblings do you have?
I have one sister and two brothers.
Okay, and if you don't mind me asking, what did your parents do for a living, or what did they do? I don't know if they're still with us or not. So.
Actually, my parents weren't involved too much.
Okay.
They had a divorce. Mother took off. Father took off. So I was basically raised with my grandmother.
Okay.
And then I spent summers with my father down in Bradenton Beach, Florida. So.
Okay, Bradenton. Okay, so. We want to talk about a small world. All right, here we go. So my mom's mom, my grandma Wheeler, Alice, she was from that area.
Oh.
Her husband, my biological grandfather, both of them have since passed, but Earl, when they got divorced, he moved to Florida, and he wound up settling in Bradenton, Florida, because the reason that just sticks out to me, one, is because the Pittsburgh Pirates did spring training down there, so I'd always get like a Bradenton spring training baseball hat from anywhere, the Pittsburgh Pirates. So what a small world.
That's more the beach. So they're Bradenton, there's Bradenton Beach.
Okay. Bradenton, okay. You said from Bradenton Beach.
Yeah, Bradenton
okay.
Beach is kind of the beach section, you know, gotcha. The good section. Bradenton is just another hot little town in Florida. So
okay, gotcha. Okay. So then, so this will just tell people, like, we didn't go over these questions. I just had some different questions, and I'm already going off the script. So let's just jump into it. When did you start following or getting into politics?
I didn't really get into politics, you know, much. I was a Republican in Southern Illinois because everybody is. Basically, in Illinois, you have Chicago, which is Democratic, and the rest of the state is Republican. But, of course, since there's so many people in Chicago, it kind of dominates everything. So there's this battle. But grew up a Republican in Illinois, and that was just what I was. You know, like, I'm a Baptist. Why was I a Baptist? Well, I was a Baptist. I was born a Baptist. So, you know.
Sure.
I didn't question. I'm from a small town. So, you know, you just go. So, you know, I didn't do that at all. You know, I still voted Republican, did my thing, you know, except when Ross Perot was running because I liked him. But so I didn't really get into politics. I did as a kid. I used to, like, hand out things and stuff because, you know, I was interested in
sure.
things like that. So
I say sure, but I did. I wasn't at all, but that makes sense. Yes, yes.
I handed out a pamphlet for Nixon. And which, by the way, was one of my favorite presidents. If he wasn't a crook, he was a great guy. I'm just saying.
Okay.
So he had that little problem. But other than that, he did real well. I mean, if you look at all the accomplishments he did, Nixon would be probably right near the top of presidents if it hadn't been for his tendency to do illegal things and get
caught. Well, so let me ask you, because, again, this is the ROV, Register of Voters Clerk's position is nonpartisan, and everybody can't see that I'm doing, you know, the quotes, you know, the air quotes, but because they're all supposed to be nonpartisan, but I don't think any of that exists since 2020. But because I understand, when did you become a registered Democrat? Like, when did that, like, when was that transition?
Well, that Bush basically pushed me there.
Okay, the first Bush? The first Bush or second Bush?
It would be W.
George.
Yeah, H-W or W? W, yeah, okay.
W, not the other guy. Although I didn't really care for him either.
Okay.
I like Reagan, but, you know.
Okay,
Bush,
yeah.
Bush seemed a little dark ops CIA oriented, so not really the kind of guy I like.
Either. Okay.
Didn't seem very open.
So, again, I don't think there's, I mean, many people say, you know, I didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me. you know, and I've heard people say that, you know, I didn't leave the Republican Party. The Republican Party left me. I've heard it both ways since I've, you know, been in office. And, okay, so you started getting into politics at a young age in terms of just, so you were aware. I mean, like I did one thing kind of politically, on a local level when I was a sophomore in high school. We had Measure A when I was a sophomore in high school. This was 1992 at Anderson. And we had a gymnasium, it was a bond.
Okay.
And we got extra credit if we would knock on doors and hand stuff out. And you know me, I'm an FFK, former fat kid. So I actually didn't want the extra credit. I wanted something more, so I got a pizza. So I got a pizza out of it. Everybody else, it started with extra credit. And so we knocked on doors, and Measure A passed. It probably would have passed by a landslide. But what that was, well, here's the cool thing about it, was that was my sophomore year. Well, my senior year for Sober Grad, we got to use the pool and the new gym as part of Sober Grad. So something I worked on as a sophomore in high school, I got to enjoy the fruits of that labor one night for a few hours after graduation, because here in Shasta County we have what's called Sober Grad. So you graduate, and then it's like basically a 12-hour party from like 9 p.m. to like 7 or 8 a.m., and there's tons of prizes, and, you know, there's an organization that does that locally. So that's the only politics thing I ever did. So let me ask you, so when did you start paying attention to elections?
Start paying attention to elections in right around 1999, 2000. I was working for a company in Orlando, and our chief lobbyist and our corporate attorney was also Speaker of the Florida House. And so, you know, he's Republican. I figured it was okay because I didn't really know the difference. I didn't know they drifted. But the Republican Party drifted for a while. You may not notice that. But
no, yeah, well, yeah, I believe you. So, yeah.
So they kind of left everything that I cared about because I'm kind of a libertarian centrist inside.
Okay.
You know, I could be a Joe Manchin Democrat or, you know, Republican. It doesn't really matter. Something in the middle there that everybody should just get along and try and work for it.
Just be common sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Try to work together.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so he requested a program. I was a programmer, prototyper. I did prototyping at NASA and DOD and DOT and all the little things, you know, wherever they had the contracts. And so basically he requested the prototype for the electronic voting machines because we didn't have any then. You know, because I'm much older than you, so.
Well, you don't look it. I understand people say that Abraham Lincoln, how he aged during the Civil War. And so, you know, anyway, go ahead.
You think this will age me? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm just saying, I'm not sure. How old are you?
I am 67.
67. So
well, in August.
In August.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So that's good, though. Usually someone would say, well, you're – you know, you're actually, you'll say, well, I'm actually, you know, I'm closer to 65 than 70. She'd be like, oh, well, actually, you'll be 67. So anyway, that's what our wives do. Our wives make sure.
Well, fact checkers are going to look at his birth date and say, dude, you're not 67 until August.
You know what? There you go, right? How long have you been married?
We've been married since 2009, but we've been together since 1987, 88.
Wow.
Were you born then?
I was born in 76. So at what point did you know she was the right one to marry? I'm just kidding. We don't need to unpack that.
Look at her.
Actually, he asked me multiple times, and I told him until this date that I gave him, and I'm not going to disclose that, if you ask me one more time to marry you, I will leave you. So he waited. He took that date, and he asked me that very day.
Wow.
Yeah, I asked her way back in 88, right?
He asked me two or three times prior to that.
And you guys stayed together that whole time?
Yep.
Yes. Wow. Because I was not ready.
We do fight on occasion, however.
Yeah. Fight? I don't see it as a fight. I always get
a disagreement
what I want.
That she eventually wins.
She sees it as a victory.
I have a gentleman, I won't say his name on air, but that baptized me years ago, and it's actually anyway, so he's been married now. I think he's been married. Let me see. He's probably been married 50, I don't know, maybe 55 years, somewhere in there. And when he was first married, his wife baked him a pie. And she says, what did you think? And he goes, it's not bad, but you got a lot of work to do before it catches up to my mom's. She's never baked him a pie since. She baked him one pie. And this is like, it is like the best story. And the older he gets and when he tells it and the way she just looks at him, like, I'm not baking him a pie ever.
She took that hard, huh?
Oh, well, but it's just like you talk about a way to like put your stamp on something, you know. No wearing her down, and I love her. So, okay, so let's go back to this. You got – so elections, going back to that.
So anyway, they won the prototype because they said, you know, there's going to be electronic voting machines, touch screens, all that kind of thing. Is it possible to program that? Well, of course it is.
And this is right after the Hanging Chads, right? Or is this
– this was before the Hanging Chads.
Before the Hanging Chads, okay. Okay.
Which is more interesting. So they wanted this program, and so I built it because it's nothing, right? It's math – is real simple.
Yeah, you got to talk into the mic.
Oh, math is real simple in an electronic voting machine. It should be the total you have plus one. If it does anything else, there's a problem because that's all it's supposed to do. Whoever got selected, add one to their total. Nothing else. So anyway, I did it. But part of the request was, can there be something placed in this program which allows someone to alter the results? Just pick who's going to win, race by race. All across the board, whatever. Well, of course there can, because the computer does what it's told to do. So if you put the right, you have to know the combination, because I put little invisible buttons on the screen, because buttons aren't really buttons, they're locations on the screen, you know, X, Y's. And so you put the buttons wherever you want them, and if they know the right order, they can select the person, and it's going to flip it to 5149. So I handed it in, said, here you go, and this is why you can never use computers. I said, you can't see this. You know, they'll never see it. Not possible. And so what they told me was, well, we're actually going to use this. We're planning on using this down in West Palm Beach. And so I thought they were nuts because they didn't think anybody would let them do that. Because, you know, it's Republicans pushing for machines that almost anybody who knows computers knows you can't actually check what it's doing. And they can be hacked from a million different directions, but it required the Democrats to agree with them. Well, the Democrats were really stupid, apparently, and passed all this HAVA stuff.
Help America Vote Act.
Well, right after that came the Hanging Chads, which I don't know if you've seen the Dan Rather story on that. But essentially, Bush, it was Jeb Bush down in Florida, changed all the paper to a lighter weight paper and a different cutting pattern. Florida had never had a hanging Chad problem prior to that election.
Because they changed the paper.
They changed the paper, and they didn't cut it completely. They ordered it that way. So it would hang. If you didn't push it hard or push it twice, it's going to hang. And lo and behold, it did, and it was terrible. But luckily, they had this program sitting here that they can now roll out to the world with the federal government paying for it. And now they are going to help you vote or vote for you, depending on how you look at it. So that got me interested. And, you know, I then told about it, told some people in DOT because, you know, I quit
and,
gang.
And DOT, that's not the Department of Transportation. That's it is the Department of Transportation.
Yes.
Okay.
So I left that company, and then I went to work for DOT. So okay. And I was working on basically the same project. We had this project called ARSIS, which essentially was a electronic document management system for the whole state. So I wrote all the software to make that work.
Okay. And so after you did this, and this was in, you said, 99 or 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the time frame?
Right around this.
So when you did this, you went and told, like, hey, and at this time you're a registered, because I think this is important, because There's a lot of, and again, I'll unpack this tomorrow on my Facebook Live a little bit about the nonpartisan issue of Republican versus Democrat, and because I got people like, how could you, you know, why did you appoint a Democrat? Why did, you know, and this or that? And it's like, what I care about is I care about free, fair, transparent elections across the country, not just in Shasta County. So my question to you is, who did you go to in 2000 and say, wait, hold on, what are we doing here? Because I know you testified in front of Congress. I saw a video like a year ago
right, of
you doing that. So where does that fall into this process?
That was in 2004 when it finally got enough traction for Congress to care. Prior to that, back in 2000, 2001, I had talked to internally to the DOT Inspector General. So his name was Ray Lemmy, but he didn't really care too much about the voting part. He cared more about the fact that the company was billing for a product that was no longer supported, because this great product that went all across the whole state of Florida was no longer supported because it was done by a Siemens Nixdorf. I know you've heard of Siemens.
Yes.
But I never heard of Siemens Nixdorf.
No.
Because Nixdorf got kicked out and the product died, so which is kind of sad. But so I told them that, you know, the product is not being supported. There is nothing coming in. There's no patches. There's no security. There's nothing. And they were paying $2 million either three times a year or four times a year for that. So I told them about that. And there was also this illegal alien that was working at the company, Chinese. I didn't know he was illegal. I just thought he was a friendly little guy.
Sure.
And but when we were doing NASA projects, so I wrote the Maximo stuff too, which is basically runs NASA and has all the emails and everything. But anyway, he was taking that information, and they were taking the information from NASA that I was using to, you know, check the program and giving it to Henry. And I didn't know why, so it seemed odd. And then later on, I was conferring after I had left that company. I was conferring with one of the other employees there, was kind of in the know. And I said, you know, is Henry still there? And he says, you do know Henry's not legal, right? And I go, no, why are we giving him all this information? And he says, no comment, which I turned that in as well.
Yeah.
Because that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah. And what year was that?
2001.
Okay. So it still didn't even make its way to the congressional floor until 2004, like 3 years
2004,
later.
Yeah. Nothing got done.
Okay. So let's fast forward
okay.
to 2004 when you – because, I mean, I've seen the YouTube video because when you applied – last time for the position, you know, once you get the packet and you start doing your due diligence with the different candidates, you start trying to Google things and, you know, you're going through it. And I saw that grainy video.
Do you know why that's grainy?
I do not know why it's grainy. why is it grainy? Probably because it was a long time ago, but go ahead.
No, it's more than that.
Every station was there, ABC, NBC, CBS, all the major stations were there.
Okay.
Right? They announced that I was going to get up and tell about this thing. I'd already presented an affidavit to Congress. The Congress already had all the information. The media had all the information. Never heard a peep about it. But the minute I got up, every major station dropped their cameras and left the room.
Really?
Yes. So much for the media not wanting to talk about it. So the only guy who got it was, like, you know, a fellow with a handheld camera.
Like a camcorder.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you, because if the listeners can't see, he's like – doing this like micro tiny like two fists together size. It wasn't that. It was like on your shoulder, like a camcorder.
Yeah, it was a big one. But I mean,
my mom used to film a baseball game and have like a dent in her shoulder and her neck hurt from holding this big, you know, JCPenney's VHS. Okay, so he films it.
So he films it and puts it out.
Okay.
And he gives it, and you know, all of the blogs started, you know, basically showing it. It went on YouTube, and
it went on YouTube. 10 years later. I mean, there was no YouTube in 2004.
Well, right. It went on YouTube when it
got
to YouTube.
Yeah.
Although if you look today, you won't find it on YouTube.
They probably scrubbed it.
It is now on Rumble, but it is not on YouTube because it no longer meets the narrative that YouTube wants.
Let me just stop you really quick.
Okay.
And when you say narrative, right, and I'm just going to – this is for my listeners because I have a lot of listeners, I think, that have been on this journey, this path, this man, I don't know what you want to call it. This, just this, this journey of like, cause I hear the narrative. I'm like, what does that even mean? You know, cause I'm, you know, I'm still unpacking and figuring out like what does some of that, but I understand because the thing that, to me, that blows me away is that would be taken off of YouTube. Like, I didn't know you couldn't find it on YouTube. I just got a link from somebody that said, hey, this guy's legit. You know, you got to check this out. And, you know, and again, of course, I had heard of you because, again, I'm the one a long time ago that met you first in Shasta County through the whole process of getting rid of Dominion. That's when I met, like, Mike Gableman and Mike Lindell and everybody else. And it was never like – I probably met 30 people in the election space across the country. And again, there's been a lot of people that you've really endeared yourself to locally as a human being, as well as your lovely wife. And we never really, you know, ever spoke ever since like the first few times we met, because it was like, yeah, I'm moving on. So, okay. So they bury this off of YouTube, mm-hmm. and now it's on Rumble. So, and we have about 50 seconds left. So here's what I'm going to set up the back half of the show. And this is what I really want to unpack. So at the break, you can be thinking about this. Is I want the listeners to hear what your I don't want to say just your mission, but what your life has been like in the last 20 something years of being a part of something so massive and having to wait so long to see some of the things righted. And I'm not saying because of your possible appointment, but I'm talking more about, you know, we're really talking about real election reform for the first time, probably in my adult life, you know, where we're talking about executive orders coming down from the president doing some big things. So when we come back after the break with Clint Curtis, we're going to unpack all of that. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
All right, we are back. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. I'm here with Mr. Clint Curtis and his lovely bride, Jody. And we were just discussing before the break about you testifying in front of Congress in 2004 and it being scrubbed off the internet. You can still find that video, that grainy video, on Rumble. So you testified in front of Congress. You told them all the things that you did in terms of creating this software. How did Congress take it? And then what's it been like for 20 years? And that's a big, big question, but the people want to know.
Well, initially they seemed interested and frightened. And a lot of, you know, not knowing what to do, you know, because they'd ask me, what can we do about this? Well, you can't really do anything about it. You know, how do I see it? Well, if you get into source code and you blueprint the whole system, you could see it maybe, but you got a million lines of code. So you could see it when you're 40, you know, 50 years later, because you're never going to figure it out. So the best thing is not use that. Plus, it might not be just in the code. It might be in the firmware. It could be in components. It could be anywhere. Your little hide in there, because it all works together and you can't see it. And so they were kind of frightened by it. But they were heading forward, you know, and some people were bringing it up. Max Cleland you know, pushed it for a while. Because in his race, he was ahead by 12 points the day before and lost by 15. So
he was winning by 12 points. So this is like in the polls?
This was a congressional race in, I think it's Georgia. Yes. Okay. This is when the polls work, by the way.
Okay.
Polls always worked before I wrote that program. After I wrote that program, they never worked. In fact, we got rid of them and decided not to use them anymore in this country, but we use them in other countries to see if their elections are valid.
Talking about polls?
Yes.
Okay.
Exit polling?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, but anyway, we went through that. We told them, you know, I've been talking to people for 20 years on it, on how to fix it, testified all over the place.
So, you know what? I got to pause you. So you're saying pre-writing this code, you could do polling, and then it would be pretty accurate.
It was accurate.
It was accurate.
Dead on accurate.
And then after, because we did polling for my race, and I'll just leave it at that. It's very interesting. So you're saying since, and it's really hard to do polling in like in a Shasta County single district race. I mean, countywide you could say maybe, but when you're talking a race of 8 to 12,000 votes or 10 to 12,000 votes, it's really hard to get a sample size,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that size of a race. But we did it nonetheless because that's, you know, we've. Anyway, so very interesting. So other countries still use polling because they're not using. I'm talking about the other countries use polling because they're not using machines. You're saying those
right.
countries? Okay.
Well, we actually, if we like Venezuela, if Venezuela has an election, we send down election observers.
And who's we?
The government, other companies or something that actually want to watch it, you
okay.
know, their
oh,
news
okay.
agencies.
Oh, okay, so not the Venezuela government isn't bringing us in.
Oh, no.
You're just saying.
They're allowing us in.
Okay, so you're just saying people that are interested in that will go down.
Yes. And
gotcha.
Sometimes
okay.
grudgingly they're allowed in.
Okay.
But you go down, you see that, and then we use polling to make sure that their election is valid.
Okay.
If it doesn't match, then we declare it, oh, they must have cheated some. But we don't do that here. We now don't use polling at all.
Yeah.
And these days it's very hard to do anyway because now everyone doesn't answer their phone.
Yeah.
The whole world has changed in that 20 years anyway.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Polling
is
separate.
So after 2004, you go this route. How long would you say, like, Cleland and others were talking about it? And then when did it become just, like, such a faint whisper that it was, like, no longer a topic? Like,
Actually, it stayed semi-hot the whole time. I mean, not real hot, but enough people had seen it that every time they tried, and this was the Democrats trying to do it at the time. The Democratic Party was trying to get rid of it. So if you look online, you'll see Kamala Harris talking about how we need to get rid of the machines. You'll see John Kerry and Hillary Clinton and all these people talking about how bad they are.
That was like 2014, 2016-ish?
Or
is that after?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not quite all that much. I mean, 2016 was Hillary Clinton, but.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know if you were talking about Hillary Clinton like before, but you're talking about in 2016. Okay.
Yeah, 2016.
I mean, if we're really going to fast forward, and so then I would guess from your standpoint of a person who wants to fix elections, 2020, then the Republicans became incensed. Was that the first time the Republicans, I mean, and I'm doing air quotes, the Republicans got upset? Is that in 2020? Or?
Yes.
Okay, so now you have back-to-back elections with both major political parties in the United States, the Democrat and Republican, both now within a short window are upset.
Right.
That must have felt like for you, hey, we're going to get it fixed.
Well, you would think. But the minute that Donald Trump decided to say this is not correct, this has been fixed, it needs to be looked at, suddenly the Democrats were no longer on board, even though they had been for, you know, 16 years. But suddenly they kicked it off and they no longer cared. So, I mean, my greatest feeling of success was when Obama won and had both the House and the Senate, you know, for that little short period of time.
Sure.
And
that was 2008. I was going to say, yeah, that was in his first term.
First
right?
term.
Yeah, first
right.
term, right at the very beginning.
And yeah,
then,
he never had that deal again.
Yeah,
and then
at the midterms, 2 years in, then it changed.
So we had legislation out there because I had talked personally with Obama when he was a senator before he got there. So
you personally had a conversation with Senator Obama.
Yes.
Okay.
When he first got there, he's really a funny guy because, you know, we went there and he's from Illinois, so he's stupid like me. And he was just like a little kid in a candy shop. how so proud of himself, right? Because he just got in the Senate, and he wanted to show his office off to a fellow Illinois guy. So he goes down, he shows how great this office is. They had stuck him in the basement. The place smelled like mold, and he was just on top of the world. And it was really interesting to see that
That would have been like what, 2002, 2004?
Yeah, something like that. Wow. So, but in 2004, we made a lot of changes in California. Deborah Bowen was running here, and so people were paying attention. And so we couldn't get as far as getting rid of the machines, but we got into this audit structure. How much would you have to audit to actually catch it? Well, audits are problematic because the computers are smarter than people, and they're able to assume what you're going to check and what you're not going to check. And so it started out good. It started out like a 10%, even a 12% audit was the one we were shooting for, right? And then it went down to 6%, and then it went down to 2%. And now it's 1%, and they don't even try that very much. It's kind of like, it's just, it's all show.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, you know, I've been essentially in three elections. I say three elections, four campaigns. I had my primary, my general, and then I had the campaign to try and block the signatures, and then I had the election once they got the signatures. So four campaigns, three elections, and a little over, you know, well, basically 3 years. And one thing, you know, my races have been tight. And so when you talk about like audits 1%, like when it's like a half a percent, how does counting 1% of 10 or 12,000 votes, like how do you get that pulse of like you're talking about the difference of one or two ballots? And like that's a really wonky sample size.
It's worthless. It's actually worthless.
Well, as a business owner, like I'm not doing an audit like mm-hmm. that of my finances. Okay, so anyway, we're going to 2020. The Republicans now are upset, but the Democrats are saying it's the most secure election ever. Because I remember that. Yes. I remember getting a postcard. I mean, anyway, so go ahead.
Do you remember 2016 when they said the election has been completely corrupted?
Oh, yeah.
The Russians have hacked in, the Russians were hacking in.
Yeah. Well, they've been cheating for – both sides have been cheating forever.
So has every other country, right?
Yeah. I'm not saying that's happened in Shasta County.
Right.
At all. And I never have said that. But I have said that, you know, it's like in baseball. Well, if the pitcher's doing steroids and the batter's doing steroids, like who's getting the advantage? Well – you know, and that's not okay because that's not how the game was supposed to be played.
Right.
But, you know, if, you know, and you realize, you know, and people will say, what was it? I think it was in Talladega Nights. Was it Talladega Nights? I don't know. One of the movies that says if you're not cheating, you're not trying. I don't remember who said that, but maybe it was Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I'm just joking. But like both sides have been doing it, and I just want no one to cheat. I want no one to have the opportunity. So in 2020, you know, I'm guessing you and other people that have been in this, you know, this process for a lot of years would think, okay, this is a great opportunity. So now the Democrats aren't interested.
Right. And a lot of the Democrats in the election integrity area who've been doing it for 20 years dropped off the face of the earth. They were just gone. They were afraid of this push down that everything is perfect. You know, even though it was terrible a little while ago, suddenly it is the best election on planet Earth. What changed? Absolutely nothing. They made no real significant changes. Everything was exactly the same.
Yeah.
The difference was who won and who was telling the story.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of my people, and then it became more polarized because Trump was demonized. So, you know, suddenly he's, you know, the devil or Hitler or something.
Sure.
Right. So, and then a lot of the people, like when I came to Shasta County and I did that demonstration on how to do a hand count
in
2 hours.
And when, I mean, I know that was Patrick Jones, former District 4 supervisor here in Shasta County. He brought you, and I remember I went over and saw you. I think it was at the Red, it was at the Holiday Inn. So, yeah. And, you know, and I didn't stay for it. I didn't go to it. But I went and saw the counter, the system that you set up for hand counts, because right. What was her name? Linda Rance.
Mm-hmm.
Linda Rance had did that, I believe, for Missouri or whatever. So I went to go check out.
She did a paper one. Yeah.
A paper one, yes. So I remember that you came. When was that, that you came to Shasta County and did that?
I have no idea.
it was about 2 years ago. I think it was in my first year, in 2023.
Things blend.
Because AB 969, I don't think it had passed yet. It was still going through the legislature.
Correct.
And probably what I'm guessing is it just freaked the state of California out. It probably freaked the country out that they did not want. I mean, because I know, like that, you talk about being pushed off the ledge politically or like waking up, so to speak. That's like a bucket of water while you're laying in bed. It's the stuff you'd see in a movie or a cartoon to like wake you up. And to me, that was like the first, that was like the start of really a lot of this. Where I was like, wait a minute, why does Sacramento care how we count votes here? No matter what it costs, who cares?
Yeah.
If it's fair or whatever. And then I start hearing this stuff. It's got a 25% error rate. I mean, I'm like, who in the world is counting then? If you have a 25%, I mean, you could, anyway. Okay. So help me out. So
what I always thought was interesting, if hand count has a 25% interest rate, why are you using it to do an audit on your machines?
Yeah.
What are you going to audit if it's doing 25% error rate?
No, yeah, not interest rate, error rate. Yeah, I know what you meant. So let me ask you this. So, okay, because I want to get to this about, you know, because obviously, and you said this in the interview, and that was one of the things, and again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this part, but that's one of the reasons, like one of the things I was looking for you to say in case you wanted to say, well, we want to air. Because if you wanted to hand count, I'm like, well, I don't want them because we can't do it. It's illegal. It's against the law.
Right.
And you brought it up and said, hey, we can't.
We can't.
It's against the law.
Can't,
you know, so my question is, so where, how do we, I mean, so, A, like, why Shasta County, why would you want to come here? And I think I know that, but I'm asking the question so the listeners, because, you know, if I really wanted to do something for years, I would move to Saskatchewan, Panama, like wherever I had to go if I was on a mission for something. And actually, I'll say, you coming to Shasta County is probably very much why I stayed in Shasta County, because I felt like this was ground zero for everything I cared about. And at that time, it just was like my faith, my family, everything I believed in. I love this place. I'm going to stay and just do everything I can to make it the best place, to continue to make it the best place to grow up and live and raise a family. And so why are you coming to Shasta County?
The people and the board are actually trying to fix the problem, and they're kind of working in sync. You do have the other group that doesn't really like it, but this is a chance to actually get it done. And, you know, people should really give you guys a lot of credit, because, you know, you have to take a lot of flack whenever you vote for, you know, anything out normal, you know.
Anything outside the box. And here's what I'll tell you. I really think, you know, it's and I'm not going to – I rarely do this even though it's a Sunday show. I rarely proselytize or anything, but there's, you know, in Scripture where Jesus is being persecuted and he says, you know, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. I think a lot of people who are, quote-unquote, against this appointment or against this type of – whether it's the board or whatever, they just really, really are endeared to sometimes people or – what they think is the norm or the best thing, but they can't step outside of it as if they're looking at a company or business or whatever and say, hey, look, here's our bottom line. Here's the trajectory to take it to here. This is what we're going to have. This is what needs to be done. It's not personal. It's not about relationships, or it's not about who deserves this or deserves that. It's like, who's going to take us to where we need to go? And my question to you, so you come here, people care, but I do think a lot of people, I think everybody, I think the nation, quite honestly, and Chris Kellstrom, Supervisor Kellstrom, District 5, articulated this. He said, I believe this is going to be, quite honestly, I'm probably giving him too many words. He wouldn't say it this way. But it was basically, he thinks this is the way the country could go everywhere with the system you're bringing, with the camera system and the accountability. Because to me, I want to take people completely out of it. The process is bulletproof. No matter what people are in there, there's checks and balances, there's transparency, there's vision, there's everything you need. So they're irrefutable results.
Right.
I mean, correct? Is that what brought you to Shasta County, like the opportunity to do this?
The opportunity to get this done and to accomplishment and to make a gold standard so across the country and across the world, they will be able to do it so everyone knows that their vote is actually counted correctly. Their guy may not win, but they're going to accept it if they know it's real. Now, you don't know what's going on. Everything's counted in the dark. Everything's done, hidden, and you're not allowed to get close to it. So if your person loses, they might really lose, but you're not going to believe it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. And the worst part is you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I mean, and this has been, I mean, you were a computer programmer, so if I'm working back and you said 67 almost in a month or two. Jody's smiling, so I want to get that accurate. I want to be on her good side.
You don't want people coming after you for saying, no, he's not 67.
People are going to come after me if I cured cancer, and they're going to say that I cheated to get the cure. I mean, whatever. So
you put all of those scientists out of work.
Yeah, I put all those scientists out of work. So my thing is,
that's a good thing.
Yes. So my thing is, so you've walked this path 25 years. So you're in your, you know, whatever that is, I guess, early 40s, late 30s by the time you're working on this, late 30s, early 40s. You've walked this path with him for a really, really much, much sooner than that. What do you, and I don't want to get into anything like dark or scary, anything like that, but like this is obviously you were a computer programmer. You became a lawyer. Did you become a lawyer? I know your election law.
Mm-hmm.
Was that because of this, or did you always want to be a lawyer? And I'm going to come back to you, Jody, with a question.
People said I should be a lawyer because I talk too much, you know. So, but I was more geeky than that. So I liked math. I liked computers. So I did computers. And then when the whole whistleblower thing came about, you know, we had a whistleblower suit and I couldn't file the stuff that some of the other whistleblowers could file because I was a contractor and
yeah,
contractor, you're out of luck. Too bad. So sad, you know, nothing. But, so I wanted to get into that to help people that need lawyers for whistleblowers. So
yeah,
that they can actually get that done, and into election law so we can help people that are doing elections. But you can't do a lot as an election lawyer because the laws are so tilted just to finish the election that it's very hard to get anything really done.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's so would you say that this elections, would you say you border on obsession?
I would say obsession.
Yeah, okay. And Jody's nodding her head so fast up and down, I was worried maybe she was having a seizure.
Could
or maybe
be.
She had a kink in her neck. So, Jody, like, so what's it been like? I mean, are you, as it relates to elections, is it something that you're really interested in, or is it kind of like, well, this is his thing, and I'm along for the ride? And, I mean, are you passionate about elections like Clint, or is it, are you just an awesome, supportive wife?
Both. Okay. I'm going to say both. Because it is very important that we have transparency. There are so many questionable elections, so many things that are hidden behind the scene that nobody's ever going to know because, like what you have now, you have what? How many feet behind a wall and you can't see what's going on?
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting, and I've done this, and I've looked back at the Shasta County elections websites and stuff, and you know, I can just remember, like, now it takes 30 days, and it's just like, you know, and the very first thing to me was I went to bed in 2020. Trump was winning. Because in 2016, which is crazy, this is the one thing I really like about – there's a couple things I like about Facebook. One of them is I really do like the when the memories come up, or you can kind of like – it's like it's a scrapbook. You know, but I also don't like that Zuckerberg owns it. So I've got to try and get everything out of there I can. But the thing is for me is like I wrote a post in 2016 after I voted and I left the precinct and I just said, hey, like, you know, I was going to a Kings game that night. And I said, hey, you know, I'm glad I got to vote. I'm glad this day's here. Whoever wins, let's just stop fighting and get back together. Because I knew my candidate, Donald Trump, and I was a Trump guy because, I mean, I heard him speak years ago at a business conference. My favorite show was The Apprentice. Like, I didn't think, you know, and I could give you all these stories about Trump. And then when the thing came out about the bus, I'm like, yeah, because I had a bunch of older guys who used to call me Baby Trump in some joking ways. But when that thing came out about the bus and the women, I'm like, don't ever call me that again. Like, and I wasn't remotely in politics. I don't want to be associated with that anymore. And, but I thought for sure he's lost. And so I'm at the Kings game. He winds up winning, you know, and I was like, wow. But the post was all about, can we just get back to normal and just get along? Cause it was the first time I'd ever gotten an argument with a friend about politics. And I wasn't in politics then, 2016, way before COVID. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, and I had friends who were voting for Hillary and I had friends who were voting for Trump and people are arguing. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, it was weird. And then so when that memory pops up and stuff, it's so now for me, I just, Jody, like I just want it to all like be, I want it to dissipate and go away, but I know it's not going to unless it's fixed.
Right. And in order to do that, it's got to be transparent. And that's what we're hoping to be able to do.
Yeah.
Well, I should say I support him.
Yeah.
Okay. It's him going to be doing it, but I 100% support the journey.
Yeah. Well, you guys have been walking side by side for close to 40.
Like 100 years.
Well, you both look fantastic.
I'm crawling and she's holding me up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as, you know, you could do that as a president. You could do that as an ROV, I guess.
Yes. Well, but well I digress. Over 30, not quite 40, but well over 30.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm excited. Is there anything, and again, this is all subject to passing a background check, and it's not, it's not common. But it has happened in Shasta County where someone doesn't pass a background check for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pass the background check on right now, to my knowledge, May 13th is supposed to be that date. If you do accept office, is there anything you want to tell people listening that we've got 2 minutes that you want them to know about you or you know, anything you want to deliver to the people before May 13th that we could deliver here?
Basically that I am going to provide an election that every side, every party, every nonpartisan will be able to check and look at and see and make sure that every vote is counted properly.
Yeah.
And at the end of the election, they will know that it is perfect.
Yeah.
And if they want to come watch it, they're not going to be stuck behind walls. That wall is coming down. They're going to be, in fact, I'm going to put in like a little lounge that they can sit at and drink a Coke and have some cookies and watch everything going on, every count, every mark, everything done.
That's phenomenal. And, you know, one thing I'll tell
with
you.
With your help, by the way.
With my help, yeah. Well, I'm really like I hire the right person and I get out of their way. Because if I have to be involved, I hired the wrong person. And that's my management style with my companies. And that doesn't mean once in a while when a camp's over or a crew comes back in town or they land at the airport and I meet them at the office to just, you know, debrief on what happened. I want to know. But this is something that, like, I'm not the expert in this. I want to bring the community together. I want everyone to feel included. But when people tell me that, you know, about Shasta County is blah, blah, blah. It's like we've got phenomenal people at our county and we're drawing people from all over the country to Redding, to Shasta County, which is a great place to live. But we're actually getting a lot of people coming to work for the county in a bunch of departments. And this is becoming more and more a place that people want to be. And I'm proud of that. And I'll say that our auditor controller, Nolder Short, is just getting something through the legislature, something that she's doing as the auditor controller, authoring and sponsoring a bill. And what we're going to see is we're going to see more and more people step up and lead and be the lead dog in Shasta County for the state of California, making us bigger, better, freer. And I'm excited that you guys are going to be a part of that. Have a great rest of your Sunday, and thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Not just miners on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and the whole beast, milk and welfare. God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of butt rounds. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground, cause all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. Lord, it's a damn shame what the world's gotten to.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.